Did we have notes?
No.
Hell no.
No, notes are only worthwhile when there's actually something worth talking about.
Well, they give us order and structure.
That's what I'm here for.
That was disturbing.
Superhero time!
Showtime!
Alright, it's superhero time. Dashing Dynamic, I'm XP. And with me this week, mocking at full force, I have Paladin. Just Right, Word Back. And Hey Mickey, the lovely sensation.
Oh, that's just as good.
Hello?
Nope.
Why, what were you going to suggest?
I said Smile Blooming.
Oh.
But you jumped ahead to number 7, so whatever.
That's because Lovely Sensation is funnier.
It is funnier, but I was thinking more in order.
Yeah, it's too bad. In case you had objected, I had a whole backup introduction ready to go.
I'm afraid to ask.
Well, I would have been XV-Stein, Nari. We would have had Palinides, Fort Maximedes, and Hey Macaritia.
Ojaru.
But it didn't happen, so we aren't. But as evidenced by that introduction, the thing I'm most interested in that's happened is Goanger versus Shinkanger being released.
Rejoice!
Yes.
Hooray! And it was glorious.
It was pretty good.
It's the best Sentai movie I've seen to date.
How many have you seen to date?
What, 2?
4 or 5.
Which 4 or 5?
I have this number 4 then, because I've seen the 3 Goanger movies before this one. They're all pretty boring.
Yeah, okay.
But was it 3 Goanger movies?
I don't think so. Not before this.
Well, maybe this is number 3 then. Anyway.
There was Geki Ranger versus Goanger, and,
right, and there's Boom Boom Bang Bang.
And,
This is just number 3 then.
Yeah. See, I was right before. You've only seen 2 other Sentai movies.
Well, they were kind of dull, and this one was great, so...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I told you before why I thought Geki Ranger versus Goanger was kind of weak, which is that there was not a huge Megazord army used.
Well, the pacing in that one was kind of off, too, I thought.
I guess.
Nothing felt terribly epic about it, but Goanger versus Shinkanger, man...
I think they solved some of the pacing issues this time by having the story mostly focus on the 2 Red Rangers.
And that was a brilliant idea, because Goan Red and Shinken Red not be more different characters.
Right.
Yeah.
And they play great off of each other.
Well, that's kind of how opposite characters work. But once again, I'm disappointed because they didn't use the Megazord suits they have to their full advantage.
How so? I mean, what do you mean?
Well, between the 2 series, they could have had, 7 or 8 suits out at once, but they didn't.
I think part of it has to do with how many suit actors they have who can fit into things.
That might count for something.
Well, just stand a couple of them up in the background and just, rotate between them. Just so they're all there,
Well, we still got a 23-piece combination of sorts.
And I like that.
But, I mean, really, the
it's
characters
take a while to
are what made
that.
This for me, though. I mean, it wasn't so much the Megazords. It's seeing Goan Red call out Shinken Red for being such a douche all the time.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we waited 50 episodes for somebody to do.
Right.
Or I have... Mickey didn't actually watch Shinkanger.
Well, I watched enough to know I didn't like him, so.
Well, you could have figured that out just from watching Shinkanger versus Goanger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we get to see the guy arc show up in a cameo, and they're still dead, but they're happy, which makes me happy.
Yeah, it was fun. Especially, press me some sushi, Nari.
I love that Kegaratia starts to fall for Goan Gold. Or, I'm sorry, Shinken Gold.
Yeah, Shinken
and then she just
Gold.
Bolts. Like, I can just leave.
Well, it's Kegaratia,
Yeah.
But yeah, It took a while, but I'm glad it finally came out and that it was much, much better than Shinkanger the movie was. Not that that's difficult.
I'm glad that it ended Goanger on sort of an uplifting kind of note. Of they're still out there being heroes. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like a nice way to wrap things up for their story. It's just saying, you know, they're going to go on.
Yeah. And on.
Yeah.
And on.
There'll be an infinite number of closing theme song raps for them.
You know, I was just thinking a little bit earlier today that they need to... okay, so... they're doing a new Masked Rider Denno movie, which is going to bring back one of the Masked Riders from Decade. So I was thinking that in that same spirit, they should take Gunpei from Goanger and have him cross over with Masked Rider Double.
You're yes.
Breaking up there.
Who is?
You.
No, I heard it fine. Maybe it's just
I heard it fine.
Mm.
Must be you, Fort Max.
It's always you.
Do you have a banana in your ear?
Nope.
Where's my banana? Okay. But yeah, Gunpei and Shotaro seems like a perfect combination.
Just more Gunpei in general is always the right idea.
Yeah. But anyway, you mentioned infinite ending raps. And we did get a new variation for Shinkanger versus Goanger.
Yep, the Shinken rap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't really have the same kick to it, though.
Oh, I love it. Hmm. I love the way they blend the Shinken Ranger theme into the rap.
Yeah, Chanbar number one.
I think it's a very well-done mashup of the two songs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess. Just didn't really catch me very well.
Well,
but that's okay.
I'm just kind of a sucker for the ending raps anyway. I can listen to them all back-to-back and not get tired of them.
Yeah, I know. And there's certainly enough of them.
Uh-huh.
Peldon sounds real interested in it.
The one thing I was a little disappointed by is the side rangers didn't get much to do, and some of their storylines seem kind of chopped. But those were sacrifices made to further the relationship between the two reds, so I can
kind of
accept
it. Oh, you mean in the movie. I thought you meant in the new ending rap.
Oh, yeah, no, sorry, I was going back to the movie, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Like Christmas
that's not
World,
uncommon,
that,
really.
That plot third was kind of built up to, like, okay, they've just been caught at the ticket booth, and then they never really resolved it. They just showed up again later, and they were fine.
Apparently the engines rescued them off-screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How convenient.
Which I guess would have been difficult to do quickly and effectively on-screen, but... No, I get what you mean. It is kind of a cop-out.
The fight between the two Reds was fun.
Yeah, it kind of was. Although, I mean, you could see the ending of it coming basically as it started.
Yeah, it was pretty clear what they were doing. However, the way they handled it, it wasn't super in-your-face about it. They didn't, like, wink at each other before they started. I mean, they played it straight.
I was kind of hoping they were going to do with that is that in the process of fighting each other, they would have thinned out the Gidoshu and Gaiark army in order that they would have been able to then effectively make a rescue. You know, because if they had struck directly at all of them from the start, it kind of would have sent up red flags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Red Ranger flags, even. But yeah. I
like the new morphing sequence they put in, too.
They always do a special transformation.
Well, I liked it.
It was very handy, though, that they got their jackets and stuff back when the Kuriko brought in the flag and banners. Very convenient.
Yeah.
Very.
Those guys are helpful to have around. They do all kinds of stuff for you.
And they're not even really there.
It's true, they're not.
Okay, so Shinkanger versus Goanger was pretty awesome.
Definitely.
It was very awesome.
Very overdue awesomeness.
It was worth waiting for, though, don't you think?
And very thankful that it's not in 3D.
Yeah, me too.
It was worth waiting for. And it did not disappoint me.
And it was worth not being in 3D.
Why does everyone hate 3D so much?
Because we can't get the friggin' glasses for it?
That's a very good point. I'm kind of down on it in theaters, too, but I just kind of a dumb gimmick.
Yeah.
I like 3D. It's a fun gimmick. It's like you're really there.
Do you really want to be there?
Sure.
Why?
Because it's in 3D. I mean, what more explanation do you need?
That's kind of circular reasoning, Mickey.
It's very circular.
Okay, Fort Max, Power Rangers.
Which one, Toy Line or Dance Off?
Well, we'll start with that.
Yes, the Dance Off, of course, they decided to change what they're doing with shows that that are run a little short. So instead of having it at the start of Day of the Dumpster again, they had a dance-off between Zach and Billy. It was horrible. Billy got robbed.
It was
That's the horrible part
awesome.
About it.
Yes.
Wait, Zach totally should have won. He's the master of hip-hop keto.
The clip if they wanted Zach to win, they shouldn't have used a clip of Billy breakdancing incredibly well.
Fort Mac has a point.
I can't imagine David Yost being funky, though.
I can't imagine Fort Max having a point.
Well, you know, they did hire him because, you know, he had the moves, basically.
Was he a gymnast, though?
Mm-hmm.
Something that's like kind that, of the yeah. opposite of street dancing, isn't it?
Possibly.
I'm sure one helps the other, though. But yeah, the Power Rangers dance-off. Never saw that one coming.
Yeah.
Now, where's my Cybernet Space Cube?
It's coming out with the Dragon Zord.
Oh.
I think
I'll
the Cybernet
see
Space
it.
Cube is more
and
like
apparently
this.
there was a lot of argument in the office where about over who should have won. This is from the mouth of Dan Evans, or, well, from the Twitter of Dan Evans, and that... He also says to wait for Zach versus Alpha 5.
No.
So will Alpha 5 do the robot or the electric slide?
Probably the time when he ends up causing everything in the command center to start sparking.
Alpha gonna get his groove on.
See, now that just makes it sound sexual, and that's just not right.
There are not enough words to describe how wrong that sounds.
So, Fort Max, what about the toys?
Alpha got his groove back.
Fort Max.
Mm-hmm.
Toys.
Yes.
It's like I'm talking to a wall here.
Yes, a bunch of pre-orders have gone up on Big Bad Toy Store.
Which you can see if you go to tfradio.net/BBTS.
Which
yes.
you should.
And there aren't... The only new stuff that... There are pictures for the Power Up Ranger figures, which have blue, black, and red with the dragon armor, and a powered up Green Ranger that has
with even more dragon armor.
Yes, as well as Lord Zedd and the White Ranger.
That's a new Lord Zedd, isn't it?
Yes.
Funny how they're mixing Season 2 stuff in with this.
Yeah.
And then there are also... Then just going for the stuff that... Everything else, which there aren't pictures of for... Well, everything else. the listing... There's a lot of listings that seems to be for stuff that's been out, but with the DVD. No indication of what the DVD has, but...
Probably the Power Rangers dance-off.
Yes. As also, there are some... We have some names for stuff that was seen at Toy Fair. There are the Spin Action Rangers, which are probably the ones that have the weapons mounted on their shoulders.
Right.
Then there's also the Cycle Accelerator, which are likely those...
The one that looks like an Evangelion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, of course, the mobile morphs, which are the ones that look like cell phones with limbs.
Ugh. phone Braver Rangers.
Yes. Then the...
Well, you know, Fort Max, a couple of weeks ago, you posted a link to something on the Sears website.
Mm-hmm.
What was that one?
That was for the green Morphin Racer. The red one's already out.
Is it the same mold as the red one, or is it different?
It's a different mold. There was also one at Toy Fair. It was also at Toy Fair in a couple of pieces of mistransformed.
That's Toy Fair.
Yep.
And let's see. Also, there's also the Tiger and T-Rex Dashers, which look like Dino Thunder Morphers with wheels.
Right.
Of all the combinations you thought you'd never hear, that has to be one. Morpher with wheels.
And also, and of course also Titanus.
Yeah, Titanus.
Titanus is up there, but where the hell is my Dragonzord?
That's my line for it, Max.
And mine.
For that matter, where's my proper Power Morpher toy?
Where's my Rita Repulsa?
In a closet.
And curiously, all three of those are in the Facebook poll that Bandai America put up for what would you want to see.
Which, translation: what is Bandai most amused by? What we're not getting?
Yeah, see,
that's probably true.
The Facebook poll is for them to make a list of what not to make.
Yeah, what have we done that's pissed them off the most so we can give that person an award for not doing it?
What?
Never mind.
That statement confuses me.
What is Bandai?
What has Bandai done? Never mind, screw it.
Apparently that statement confuses you, too.
It does. I can't figure out a way to word it clearly, so screw it.
Way to be Fort Max, Mickey. Okay, so is that all the new Power Rangers stuff for this week?
Well, aside from various Mix and More stuff that was also listed as well, which, yeah, same type of stuff.
So has anybody seen any new Power Rangers stuff on clearance since the last time we talked about this?
Some people I talked to have reported seeing the 2010 Megazord marked down from $14 to $5.
Criminy.
Yeah.
I've not seen any Megazords marked down at all, so I guess they sold them before I got there.
Oh.
Same here.
For more on the questionable future of Power Rangers, see last week's show.
I'm sorry, is there a question about the future of Power Rangers?
I said the questionable.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying there's not really a question in my mind. It's dead.
Oh, okay.
For now.
Well... Yeah, I go into more detail on this last week, but basically, unless Ben 10 is doing a lot better than I think it is, if Power Rangers goes, Bandai's not going to be far behind it.
Well, if they can pull in a movie license, something to keep them alive, let Power Rangers rest for a year or two and give us Beast Wars, they'll
maybe
be
they
okay.
Can do another series of Kamen Rider Dragon Knight toys.
Or maybe they can just bring over Double.
Or maybe revive Mystic Knights of Kiernanog.
There you go.
That was a surprisingly good toy line.
No, what they should do for the next TV season is start up VR Troopers again on ABC Kids. And, you know, make new little toys for that.
They could just bring back Gundam.
Or bring back Saban's Masked Rider.
You know, Masked Rider Double doesn't look... physically all that different from Black RX, except for not being that color. Not that that has anything to do with anything, but...
Well, you know, a lot of Masked Riders have the same black and green look to them, though. Not
all,
but a lot.
Masked Riders look alike.
So what's been going on in Ghost Ager?
What has been going on in Ghost Ager? What did we watch this week?
Episode 12?
12? Is that right?
That's the most recent subtitled one, anyway.
Okay, then 12 it is.
Yeah.
Hyper Ghost Egg Great.
Right.
Oh, great.
Exactly.
Oh, Data's hyper.
Yes. And you're retarded. Of course.
I could have dealt with it if he didn't have those stupid boxing glove fists.
Yeah.
Which, as I understand, are not even replicated all that well in the toy.
Not from the looks of it, no.
So there's really no point to them in the design.
Well, the toy does replicate Data's ability to suck.
Fair enough.
That is apparently true.
Because that toy looks pretty awful.
And it's an arcade machine that turns into a Megazord. What do you expect it to look like?
Wait, it costs more than Ghost Egg Great?
The going rate is like $90, and I paid less than that for Ghost Egg Great, yeah.
Why? I mean, it's...
What the hell?
Isn't it doing anything extra?
I think why is the word of the day, yeah.
Like, if it had some kind of electronics in it or something, like, you know,
I guess
lots
Mickey's
of noises.
Right,
or...
it is always why.
Yeah.
You figure if they had a toy of a character nobody wanted, they'd make it cheap to begin with.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it works out that Data's Hyper costs a ridiculously exorbitant amount of money. Because then, even if you might have been mildly tempted to get it just for the Zord combination, you probably can't afford to anyway.
Exactly. That's my problem.
Anyway, so then Bandai manages to piss everyone off.
Even in Japan.
Uh-huh.
Bandai.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Starting next week, I think we're going to call the podcast ARG Bandai. Because that seems to be a recurring theme.
At least next week, though, we'll have something good to talk about in Ghost Ager, though, won't we?
Theoretically. Yeah.
Isn't that the week of the ostrich?
Yes.
But first, let's talk about episode 12 a little bit more.
Do we have to?
We must.
Well,
just
there
go
is
back
that really,
to the drink for now.
There was that really stupid thing they did with the Rangers.
Which one this time?
No, the stupid thing that happened this week was the Ghost Agers getting out of sync with the Earth.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, this episode takes place almost immediately after episode 11, because the Ghost Egger are all celebrating Datus' combat ability for some stupid reason.
Well, wouldn't you have a party for your robot, too?
I don't see his fighting form as anything to celebrate, so no.
But he can move buildings. I think it may be that he's less useless.
Well, Data Typer said it himself. Now it's like there's 5.5 Go-Ongers, or Ghost Egers.
Yeah. Don't get the two mixed up, please.
If it was Go-Ongers, it'd be a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bomper would totally kick Datus' ass.
It's a shame we couldn't get that in a crossover movie.
Go-Onger versus Ghost Ager?
Yeah. Just have to hope Dai Goyo picks up the slack in Bomper's stride.
No, actually, from now on, every Sentai crossover should involve the Go-Ongers. Since they're still out there going on. Anyway, continue with your...
All right.
Whatever.
The point is... By about this time, King Drake has rightfully gotten fed up with the Ghost Egger bull and decides to go do the job himself.
Paladin, every time you do that, you make me cry because it's more that I have to listen to in editing.
Bullshit. There you go.
You.
But it's so apt.
Now that we've gotten that out of our system.
This is the least competent team of Sentai we've seen in a long time.
And yet somehow they keep winning.
Yes.
Which must mean this is the least competent team of villains ever. And after some of the villains that we've had over the years, that's saying something.
Yeah.
Well, remember, the Ghost Agers have got God on their side, so, you know, they
or
are
at
angels.
Least Zordon. It's hard to tell.
Yeah. Anyway. King Drake brings Darapuda down with him, you know, the guy who collapsed the Heavenly Tower way back when.
Barracuda?
Darapuda? Darapuda? Did we ever settle on the right pronunciation for that?
No.
Yeah, screw it then. He fights and rightfully kicks the Ghost Egger's asses, so Master Hyde has to, or Master Head has to teleport in and save them, basically.
With a tornado.
Yes.
Way to make an entrance.
Yeah. doesn't use the tornado for something, you know, purposeful, like blowing King Drake off the face of the earth or something, but...
Probably not strong enough for that.
To save these five useless angels.
Well, you gotta work with what you have.
Yeah. And he tells them that the reason they can't win against Daraputa is because they're out of tune with their elements. Which...
Daraputa?
Which makes no sense, because there's no build-up or counterpoints or anything to that. They'd spend like an episode or two before this trying to show how the Ghost Eggers are getting weaker and relying on different abilities than their elements. I might have bought it, but
no.
Right now it's just too sudden.
Well, I can buy that they're doing things wrong. I mean,
yeah,
they've proven to be pretty good at doing things wrong.
Maybe that's actually what Masterhead's trying to say, and they're just too stupid to realize it.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's also possible that they didn't even know there was stuff to get out of tune with.
Again,
no, they seem to be aware of it. But again, they're useless, stupid screw-ups, except for Hyde.
Yeah. Remedial Rangers.
Hyde is the most competent out of them.
Yeah. He got someone killed, so what does that say about the team?
Well, I didn't say that he wasn't still borderline, but...
Yeah.
This is the worst team ever.
No, I'm still going to stick with Overdrive. Despite all the these angels have pulled. Now, back on trying to resurrect this topic. They get back in tune with their spiritual whatever the hell it is this week.
But not before the wind goes and slaps Alda and Aerie in the face.
Yeah.
Literally.
So... Bonus
good.
Points for the wind.
I still think the ground should have kicked Agri in the crotch.
It should have.
And
as
then
they
all
figure out...
is for Hyde to be trying to get drowned by the water.
Yeah.
But like I said, Hyde's the most competent out of the five of them, so maybe he would have been spared either way.
Possibly. And as they figure this out, King Drake and Dara, however the hell you say that...
Daryl.
Yeah, there start this ritual to move the moon out of orbit, which TV Nihon has thankfully translated as mystical gibberish.
Yeah, well, it probably is gibberish, but...
Yeah. And that's another thing I don't buy. The alien secret weapon is to move the moon? Yeah, I can see how that causes devastation, but... How exactly do the Ghost Eggers put that back? I know they have the memory wipe thing to make people forget, but wouldn't moving the moon cause, you know, huge tidal waves and catastrophic damages? I don't think you can just erase memories of that.
Yeah, you're right. It would have been much better if their secret weapon was transforming into giant apes at the side of the moon.
Yeah.
That's obviously the much more logical alien superpower.
Yeah.
Well, then there would be like a 30-part... episode for that, though.
Don't
sadly, yes.
Tempt them.
And it still might be better than this one.
No, I think if they stretched out an episode of Ghost Ager into 30 parts, it would be much worse. And there'd be a lot more of it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Ghost Ager taking 280 episodes to complete?
At this point, I kind of can. Seems like the pace
the series
so far.
Just hasn't really lived up to its potential so far.
No. And neither does the combination of Hyper Ghost Eggers Great.
Yes.
Backflip.
The headers flying in unison is kind
of
cool, but that is
there's
doing
way
a backflip
too many of
and
them,
grabbing onto Ghost Eggers Great's ass just doesn't help things at all.
There's way too many headers. They shouldn't have been coming in sets of three.
What should they have come in sets of then?
Singles.
Zero.
One.
Guess I should have said two.
They should have stopped after Pirate Hat. Because really, there's no way they're going to top Pirate Hat.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, we were talking the other day about Ninja Hat.
Lumberjack Hat.
Yeah, that too. But again, that would have to come with a chainsaw attachment.
But we already have the chainsaw attachment.
Yeah.
Oh, a bigger chainsaw attachment. Whatever, I don't care.
I can't really complain about having bigger chainsaws around, so yeah.
But yeah, next week we get Mystic Runner, the Ostrich Zord. Mystic
and the
Runner,
good thing apparently... Can I go ahead?
Yeah, fine, whatever.
And the only apparently redeeming plot point is in this week they actually kill off the war star who destroyed the Tower of Heaven.
Barracuda.
Yeah. Daryl, whatever we called him. That dude with the claw hands.
Barracuda.
Bill.
So, that's kind of impressive, killing off one of the big bads this early in the series.
By
he might
having
come back,
the arcade
though.
Machine backflip into your ass.
Yeah, this is the Ghost Sagers. They probably didn't kill him good enough, and he'll be back next episode.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it took Hero Mechamedes, like, 5 episodes to finally die. So, I mean, it's not without precedent.
And then he came back as a girl.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe
that's
King
what's
Drake...
wrong with Ghost Sager.
No,
there's
no,
not
Mickey,
enough cross-dressing
his,
in it.
That was his brother.
But still, there's not enough cross-dressing in the show to make it good.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe King Drake keeps a couple of Black Lantern rings in his arsenal somewhere or something.
I was just going to suggest that maybe Data's hype would go out in a dress one day.
That would probably make him seem more masculine.
Yeah.
Especially with that big joystick sticking up there.
But the question is, would he be going out to order pizza?
Oh, that is what I had in mind. Complete with the big sun hat.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Ghost Sager sucks. How about Masked Rider Double?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I know, it doesn't suck.
No, this week's episode, number 33, was a pretty decent episode. It was definitely better than the letdown that the last two were.
Yeah. Well, that's because they weren't introducing a new toy yet.
Yeah.
Although, I was talking with Ben today, and he actually brought up something that was interesting about the last couple episodes.
Wait, stop, Mickey.
What?
A, oh. I don't like the sound of Ben bringing something up. And two, you need to plug your microphone out and back in.
All right. Okay. Better?
All right, so anyway.
Yes.
I didn't catch on to this when I first watched it, but when they go into extreme mode, they're actually joining with the Earth's memory core. Which is what Museum is mining to get the dopant memories, and it's what Philip is accessing through Planet Bookshelf.
Right.
And now that I put that all together, now it seems like we're actually going somewhere with the plot of resolving all these issues of what is happening with these memories, where are they coming from.
Right.
And he brought up another good point of, we think we've figured out who Shroud is.
Right.
We think that Shroud is Philip's mom.
Right.
Sounds like it should be a joke, but it might actually be a good plot.
Why should it be a joke?
Your mom's a Shroud? That doesn't sound like an attempt at obscenity.
Okay. I follow you now.
Well, she's providing them with the memories. She's obviously very interested in Philip's well-being. She keeps calling him by Raito, his museum name.
And she has the right hair color.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's totally got to be his mom, which means probably the reason why she's in bandages is because something evil dad did to jack her face up, and now she's Freebie. Out to stop them.
By the way, is it just me, or is Wakanda putting on weight?
Possibly.
She looks bigger.
She's dressing bigger, I think, like more collars and things. Maybe they're trying to hide the fact that she's gaining weight.
Maybe. Maybe it's memory poisoning.
Possibly.
Although the doctor doesn't seem to be having any ill effects from all of his.
Well, that's because he's pure evil.
Apparently.
But, getting back on topic of episode 33.
On topic? What's that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, look, a bird.
No, the correct
it's the word.
Oh, look, a submarine.
Anyway, so basically the plot point for this one is Nazca's sister comes and decides to jack with Shotaro by displacing his memories of in time or something. I don't know. It was kind of confusing.
Well, she has the yesterday memory, which works like
so
a rewind
now he
button.
Gets to go on a Zio quest.
It's the TiVo memory. You push a button and you see what happened yesterday on the soaps. I thought that was clever. But yeah, the yesterday memory has the power to make whoever's affected by it relive their previous actions. Like diving into a pool off the roof of their building.
Or meowing like a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that explains why he did it the second time. So the first time is entirely his own fault.
Yeah, have you noticed how Akiko's becoming more and more the sane one of the group?
Frightening, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think this is what Narumi had in mind when he was teaching Shotaro. Anyway.
I don't know what else to say about the episode.
Yeah, probably not.
I'm just watching the formation of that extreme form for the first time now on YouTube while you guys are talking.
Oh.
Oh, you mean extreme?
Yeah.
Surge!
Yeah, basically, that's what it's like.
It's never the right color, too. The memory energy.
Never thought we'd get a Kamen Rider powered by the King of All Cosmos.
This attack is entirely too small. I'll use it anyway.
Royal Rainbow!
One thing I noticed today, which you probably already have noticed, is that the center part of Extreme, I always assumed it was just white with like a prismatic coating to it, but there's actually a clear plastic and the prism coat underneath it.
We talked about that last week.
I probably wasn't listening.
We argued about it for 5 minutes. You really were bloody drunk, weren't you?
I don't remember it at all.
Note for the future. Drinking improves our recording.
Show, 'cause I cut it out.
Oh, okay.
I edited it out of your memory. That's how good the program I have is.
Yeah, come to think of it, didn't we like talk for like 45 minutes and the show is only 30 minutes long for last week?
Yeah.
You probably just cut down to me saying retarded stuff while being drunk, didn't you?
You should have.
How is that different from any other time?
I don't know.
It'd be it's like not, cutting down the show to Fort Max saying retarded stuff.
I think the difference is the drunkenness.
It'd be like cutting down the show to just Fort Max saying retarded stuff. It'd basically still be the same show.
I wish I had liquor to be drunk right now.
I just finished drinking some Mountain Dew Distortion. It's an unhealthy, unnatural color green.
The connection just blipped for anyone else?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. I'm not insane.
Well.
Oh, shut up.
Okay, so, is that it then?
Yes.
I think so.
What was that?
That was Ben.
Doing
what? He's yelling at Halo.
That's reasonable. Okay, well then I guess we'll go ahead and take a break. Do we have anything else to talk about right now?
Nothing that matters.
Well, none of it matters. We still talk about it anyway. I just did 45 seconds on Mountain Dew Distortion. Did that matter?
And we heard the last half second of it.
Well, that's okay. It'll still be in the show. But it's good and sickly green.
It's piss green.
Actually, when you pour it in a glass over some ice, the foam looks almost like it's glowing.
I'm a big fan of sodas that look like they're poisonous.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking earlier. It's all the better because it pretty much looks radioactive.
I like drinking things that remind me of antifreeze.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Remember years and years ago, Ecto Cooler?
Yeah.
Yes. But how do y'all remember Ecto Cooler? Y'all are like babies.
I drank it when I was 7.
Do they keep it like around a long time after Ghostbusters then?
They changed the name, I think.
Beats me. It was in Omni and we bought it. It was green.
It was good.
I kind of miss it. I mean, it was basically just orange juice with food coloring added, but it was still pretty good.
That's any high C flavor.
Yeah, I know. Okay, we're going to take a break.
And yeah, I think we're past talk about something point. Red.
Hello, this is Brian Kilby, host of Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show, and one of the world's first podcasts. I am also on one of our other podcasts, which is Fanboy Versus, and I really think you should check it out. Fanboy Versus is our comic book podcast, and each week we bring you lots of fun news and information around the comic book world. It is hosted by JD Church and features Ender, Chris McFeely, Chris Triplett, and of course, me, Brian Kilby.
And cry for justice. Dreadful, so that one I did try to read, and it's just abominable. Character, you know, the first issue alone, every two pages, a character literally drops to their knees, throws their hands up to their heavens, and just cries, "Justice!"
I wish I was joking.
Check it out at tfradio.net. Comes out weekly. If you like comic books, you'll love Fanboy Versus. And Fanboy Versus is brought to you by Value Mags. Check them out at tfradio.net/comics.
Superhero time. Although a normal discussion topic was recorded for this week's show, upon review of it, it was found to not meet our standards of quality. We have standards of quality here? And as such, it has been cut from the show. We may at some point revisit that topic for a future installment. Thank you.
It's me, Hey Mickey, Paladin of Fortnite. Superhero time!
So our most recent Twitter theater was Forever Red, which we were supposed to talk about last week, but somebody was not around to be on the show and have our normal discussion topics, so it got bumped to this week instead. Good
That's
job,
okay.
Mickey.
I mean, this episode lasts extra long to make up for it.
Cripes.
Well, I don't mean to go and wreck your day, but you better turn and run away, or there'll be a big, big price to pay. Fear the most, 'cause I am the one who will take you down. And as long as I exist, there's hope for the world.
Okay, so it's Forever Red. Somebody talk about it.
The theory of having a bunch of veteran Rangers come back again to fight is great. But in execution, I don't think it's very good. If you can turn your mind off and just enjoy the spectacle, then, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That's, yeah, pretty much it in a nutshell. It's glorious fan service, but, man, it's not a very good episode at all.
Yeah.
Of course, the main problem, what was with all the wire foo?
It's Red Rangers fighting. Why wouldn't there be wire foo?
Was that wire foo prominent in Wild Force?
Or
was it just that episode?
Bit, I think. Not nearly as much as this, but they did have a bit of it.
Let's see, Wild Force was what, 2002?
Yeah.
Which makes it pretty much post the Matrix boom when everyone was doing Matrix cami type things, so.
Yeah, Time Force started that really, but Wild Force just kind of continued it.
Yeah. It was just the style at the time.
Yeah.
They wore onions on their belts.
And also another thing that I noticed that was off, that was really missing. What happened to all the effects when the cogs got defeated?
Probably cut the budget, I guess.
Probably spent all their money having to hire back the actors.
They probably spent all that money on all that wonderful CGI.
Yeah, of course.
Ugh.
Admittedly, it wasn't all that much worse than the Sentai CGI.
Perhaps, but still, when you Super Nintendo Star Fox looks better than the CG in your TV show.
I That Serpentera had textures.
Okay, I'm using a little bit of hyperbole. I'm just saying it looked really bad.
Well, Serpentera's like Unicron, then.
It's only as big as you want to make it at the time?
No, it shrinks each appearance, it's smaller.
Hey, you're right. I never noticed that before. Well,
and of course, the other thing that stood out, of course, the Beetleborg suits.
Yeah.
You couldn't at least repaint the things?
Yeah.
I always assume this included the Beetleborg suits in just as extra fan service, that they wanted them to be recognizable.
That's a possibility.
I understood it was more they didn't have budget for completely new designs.
So it wasn't something they planned just as a wink to the fans, just like, this is all we have available?
It was the most Machine Empire, I think it was the most they had available that would actually fit the entire Machine Empire thing.
I could believe that.
But could they have at least, you know, painted them or something?
That's what I said.
I wasn't here for it.
Well, maybe they didn't want to ruin the costumes.
Because they were going to go and use them again? I mean,
yeah, and forever Beetleborgs.
Ha.
Huh. Yeah, that's coming along real nicely.
That Beetleborgs VR Troopers crossover?
Where they are thwarted by Saban's Masked Rider?
Yeah, I still think next season they should bring back... they could bring back Beetleborgs, for that matter, instead of Power Rangers Remastered. But VR
one of the fun things about Forever Red was that we got to see how the actors have aged.
Like Austin St. John.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking more of Andross.
Yeah, he got
Andros.
A little bit big, too.
He got really big. And the decision to put him in a spandex shirt really did not work in his favor.
Never did.
Yeah. The fight scene actually proves that Carter has an ounce of sense in him.
They didn't try and karate fight his way through it?
Yeah, he actually had a gun and he used it. I kind of admire him for that.
But then they did all those...
Not that they didn't try and force him to doing karate stuff he couldn't do.
Yeah.
And also there was a distinct lack of footage of the stalk special attacks. Even though they were using those attacks.
That was a nice touch, I thought, that we got to see the attacks, but we didn't see stock footage thrown in there.
Well, I would have liked to see the little stock footage power-up charge portion of it.
I think I liked it more without, personally.
And also, you really, really got to see a good comparison of how cheaply made the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers costumes were made.
I didn't notice that. Elaborate.
The gloves and boots were always way too loose on those.
Okay, so you're talking about in terms of neatness of how the costume was constructed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were cheaply made.
Ah.
You know, I could have done without the low-quality, like, Matrix rip-off filming effects.
I thought they worked pretty good. I've seen much worse uses of bullet time.
Of course, I also could have done without the CG Serpentera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, all you have to do to defeat Serpentera is just drive a motorcycle through it.
Once he becomes 75% smaller.
Which is another bullshit thing.
The motorcycle
really all you'd have
or
to do
the
is...
75% smaller.
Well, they just need to wait for it. They just need to wait. They just could have defeated Serpentera without doing anything.
Yeah, all you need to do is wait 5 minutes for his damn batteries to run out.
Well, except didn't they explain in the episode that they installed a neoplutonium reactor in Serpentera?
If they did, they didn't do it
line.
Well.
Though, I did like...
I remember them saying something about upgrading Serpentera's power supply. So, you know, the running out of gas thing probably wouldn't have worked that time.
Though,
plus, you know, he was
75%
smaller, and economy models always get better gas mileage.
And it looked like they did actually drag out the old cockpit set.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't doing anything else.
Well, it's just kind of surprising that it hadn't been broken down.
Yeah,
most
that's
sets
what I was...
get destroyed immediately after the show's over.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Well, you know, they kept using that same little red geo tracker for years and years. I don't think they throw anything away.
Well,
the what?
Just...
Tommy's little Jeep thing.
Yeah.
Which was originally Rocky's little Jeep thing.
It's just an
unusual
way to film
Jeep
a show
thing.
To not destroy your sets. I mean,
and also turned up on Sweet
Star
Valley
Trek,
High, apparently. I think it was on VR Troopers. It just kind of got around.
Yeah. Of course, there's one question that still kind of remains from this. Is the Vengix from Forever Red the same one that's in RPM?
I doubt it.
No, because it said Dr. K created Vengix in RPM.
So there.
She could have created him by modifying the remains of this one.
But they
could have
say
tied
that
in if they tried.
No, because Vengix was created as a computer program. So I mean, there's no physical form for it. It's possible it was named after him.
I doubt it.
But how would she know to name it after him?
See?
It could be recorded in history or something.
No. Secret mission.
Okay.
And we glossed over one of the other important elements of Forever Red. The last shining moment of Vulcan Skull.
Yeah.
Reunited after so long.
And finally successful.
Yeah.
And scared of Tommy.
As well they should be.
Yeah.
Because they made his life hell back in the first season, and now they realize he's got a lot more power than them.
Yeah, they finally used their brains.
Though, there was a distinct lack of food landing on them.
There's a pool, though.
Time.
That's pretty good.
That was close.
If we can't have food, we'll at least have lots of water. So, you know, that's good enough.
You know, there's a good reason why they were able to defeat Serpentera with a motorcycle. It was a special magic motorcycle given to them by the Animarian god, basically.
And plus, it's Serpentera.
Yeah, Serpentera's pretty easy to defeat.
Yeah, usually.
Well, no. Serpentera's never been defeated. It just has to kind of retreat to go fill up its tank again.
And then you win. Before
well, no,
it does
just,
anything.
No, you just don't lose.
And that's a win in my book.
Not if you don't win, it's not.
Yeah, I think Serpentera just used up all of its power destroying that planet that had the Sword of MacGuffin.
Blew out
a lost galaxy.
What? No, the power transfer sword thing.
Right. Oh, that sword.
The deserted
yes.
planet.
Yeah.
Or deserted city, whatever the hell they called it.
I hope it wasn't just a city that was deserted, because somebody's screwed when that planet gets blown up.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd my planet go? I just left a minute ago. let's mention how great their moon set was. It totally didn't look like the desert at all.
Yeah.
It looked more like the moon than the opening of Day of the Dumpster.
But that's
well,
not
true.
The moon.
Yeah, that's Planet Nemesis.
Yeah.
They couldn't even, like...
Which apparently stayed in the solar system, because you can see it out the south window of Zed's palace. Well, you can.
Yeah, yeah.
What I'm more interested in is that at some point between In Space and Lost Galaxy, somebody went and, like, renovated the moon. Made it where you can go out and walk around with no spacesuit or anything.
And ride horses?
You mean like,
That's another
I'm
thing,
pretty
too.
Sure they were able to do that in Zeo.
When did they go to the moon in Zeo?
Rita and Rito and Zed were all driving around in that camper on the moon.
Well, they don't need to breathe.
The Winnebago does.
It's a space Winnebago. I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, like Lone Star had?
Yeah. Except crappier.
Maybe we're just getting everything ready for going whaling on the moon.
And, of course, there were all the times that Tommy and Cat and even Kimberly were in the Moon Palace.
Well, the Moon Palace probably had air in it.
Well, when they blew up the Moon Palace, the air went all over the rest of the moon. It escaped the palace.
Did it even blow up?
For that matter, why was the Machine Empire using horses?
Well, it's probably faster than walking.
Why wouldn't they have, like, a motorcycle or something?
Maybe they were mecha horses.
It's not like there was any shortage of Beetleborg motorcycles sitting around, since they had Beetleborg everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, it almost kind of makes me wonder if, like, they originally filmed the whole episode to take place, like, in the desert, like in New Mexico or something. Then they realized, oh, wait, we left Serpentera on the moon, not on Earth. Well, let's just blue screen in the sky to stars. We'll just call it the moon.
But they did. They didn't leave Serpentera on the moon.
How come Serpentera was buried on the moon then?
The last time you saw Serpentera before that, Rita and Zed were taking off in it.
But they got back somehow.
In a Winnebago, not in Serpentera.
No, you didn't see them coming back. They were just back and had a Winnebago for whatever reason. I think they realized it was more fuel efficient than Serpentera.
Yeah.
And probably Zed got sick of Master Vile again.
The Winnebago is Serpentera Mark II.
Yeah.
But still, there's no indication that Serpentera came back.
And I did like the stat that they had a statue in the form of King Mondo's spray painted costume.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll paint that.
I thought
that
was supposed to be his corpse.
They'll paint that, but they won't paint the Beetleborg costumes.
Well,
I mean, seriously, what's going on there?
Perhaps the Mondo costume wasn't
very good. The paint wouldn't hold. I mean, the paint might not have wanted to hold well enough. But
the paint held well enough to paint them the first time.
It's probably more likely the Mondo costume was falling apart and they didn't care about spray painting it, but the Beetleborg costumes were still in really good shape, so they didn't want to ruin them.
Except yeah, they used the Mondo costume a lot less than the Beetleborg costumes.
Yeah.
But it's possible still over time it might have deteriorated or been damaged.
So they had to cover it up quickly.
The Mondo one probably wasn't made to last as long anyway, because it sure wasn't used that much.
Besides, it's not like they had any problem, you know, repainting and mashing together other costumes. I just don't see why they couldn't repaint the Beetleborg suits. They weren't using them anymore.
Well, part
and
of
there
it
was,
is
they, a they pres- there was no presumption that they would be used for anything else.
Well, part of it may be, of course, most of the monster suits are foam, or mix of foam and rubber, whereas the Beetleborg suits had completely different materials that may not have held paint that well.
They had to be painted the first time.
Well, I mean all the various armor pieces, which may have been molded in those colors. But for the entire thing, that might not have worked that well, but it's kind of a mess.
Kind of?
It could be something a lot simpler in that they didn't have the time to paint them, or they didn't have the budget to set aside to paint them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, whereas with Mondo, they could just spray paint because it's not like it was going to be moving much, whereas you're having people actually in the Beetleborg suits, and they're having to move, and that...
You know what they should have done? They should have dug out the VR Trooper suits.
As if they're still around.
Well, the Beetleborg suits.
What they should have done is they should have brought back Ivan Ooze.
Well, except Fox Studios.
I don't care about the rights. I'm saying what they should have done. Logic and reason has nothing to do with this. This is just what I want.
Yeah, there you go.
Or they could have made some more of those Red Ranger helmeted VR Trooper costumes that they used in that weird dimension thing to fill time.
Or they could have brought back the Psycho Rangers again.
That would have been good.
Or just Psycho Red.
Actually, Psycho Red probably could have defeated all 10 of those Red Rangers by himself anyway.
If he was programmed right, he could have.
He would have been more of a threat than Serpentera.
True.
Putties are more of a threat than Serpentera.
Yeah, putties work for more than 5 minutes. Now, they can't blow up a planet, but then after the first time, I don't think Serpentera could either.
And plus, it's kind of pointless to blow up the planet if you're wanting to conquer it.
Conquest is overrated anyway. Blowing up a planet looks much cooler on your resume.
Well, the problem is that's where you have all your magical MacGuffins.
Serpentera is big. They could load that up first.
But half of them are the vast majority. Think how many just look at how many MacGuffins the California desert has by that one rock formation.
That's one special rock formation.
Very special.
Bet if you blew that place up, it'd blow up real good.
What, that one rock formation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, remember in Ghostbusters when they shut down the power to the containment field?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine something like that, only like a nuclear scale of magic.
Fine, let's see. That's
everywhere.
Where the command center is. That's where Ninjor's temple is. That's,
Yeah, who knew Ninjor's temple was just down in their basement?
We're not going to talk about the basement of the power center again, are we?
Well, it was.
And of course, I think there were caves. One of the caves, a little short tunnel there, is where every single cave was in the American footage of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
They get a lot of mileage out of that area.
Yeah.
But, okay, here's the question, though. Was that space also the moon?
Maybe.
The moon was more sandy than rocky.
Or was it more Aisha?
Boo.
I think it's all Adam.
Aisha.
Yes, it could be Adam.
Though the... It did have... Though I... Forever Red did have decent models.
What models?
I think the... When they had... They had... Well, they... Definitely had a model of the entire base where Serpentera was. Because otherwise, CGI Serpentera wouldn't have looked so out of place in small CGI base. But put Serpentera CGI model in a actual physical model of some buildings, it's going to look well, like it did in Forever Red.
Yeah.
They should have just got a Serpentera toy and flown that around in motion control.
It would have looked more realistic.
No, that CGI model moved a lot more than the toy can.
I don't care, it still looked like crap.
Yeah.
And still, and really, toy Serpentera, that would have looked even worse than the CGI model.
I disagree.
At least you would have known they were trying. Or something.
I think a CGI model's a lot harder to make than digging out the Serpentera toy.
Not one that crappy.
I'm just
seeing
more convincing CG on a
DS
PlayStation
Max.
1 game. Mario 64 had more convincing computer graphics than Forever Red.
It was more entertaining, too.
And also, was TJ's car, was that supposed to be Lightning Cruiser, or...
I don't think so.
Just
I think
some
it just must be a red car, yeah. Well, he's a Turbo Ranger. He's going to need a fast red car. See what's out there in the parking lot that we can borrow.
It's too bad he wasn't driving around that red Geo Tracker.
Or use one of the producer's cars or something.
Like I said, it's too bad he wasn't driving around that red Geo Tracker.
Yeah.
That just won't... I mean, that's a red thing, too, so that would have fit in Forever Red.
And speaking of that, isn't that the first time we actually learned his full name?
Yeah.
And of course, I do love that he, that they'll find one of the last lines. Did I ever tell you about the time I got baked into a pizza?
Of course, the part he left out was that he teased the monster saying that he was there to toss its salad.
Yeah.
It was implied.
Sure.
Well, that was Forever Red, and this feels like it's gone on forever.
And I think it has.
Red E to end it.
And yep, I think when Mickey starts buzzing for the third time in the show, it's time to go.
Yep.
I'm not buzzing, you are.
Well, you might as well leave it now. Okay, so do we have any final thoughts? Anybody except Mickey?
Yes.
I've got one thing I'm just going to toss up here.
A salad?
No. Episodes 5 and 5.5 of the History of Power Rangers documentary I've been pushing.
Oh.
That's Turbo? Or
yeah, both parts of Turbo.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time watching that series for some annoying reason. No, I mean, what I mean is I really like it.
I think
it.
You may have answered your own question there, Mickey.
No, it's a. I really like the series. It's every time I sit down to watch it, I get interrupted by things. And I can never like watch more than 30 seconds at a time without the phone ringing or having to go do real work or something. It's very frustrating.
Yeah. Well, still give it a chance. It's not that bad.
Oh no, I love the show. I just can't physically watch it. I keep getting stopped.
Well, just turn the volume way up and do other stuff.
Ignore everyone else in my life while I watch it.
Yeah. Okay, so anything else?
Should we try and pick something for next week?
Do we have to?
Usually it makes a difference.
It seems
Yellow
like
Ranger
earlier,
discussion.
It seems like earlier today I had an idea for something to do next week, but now I can't remember what it was.
Video games, perhaps?
No. Well, we could do the
Token
villain
Rangers?
Topic.
What was that?
Token Rangers?
No, the other guy.
The other guy. I was saying we could do the villain topic.
That'd be good.
Or Sailor Moon, whatever.
I think, no. Much like I talk Sailor Moon, I really don't think it'd be a good topic because none of y'all know anything about it.
How about Voltron?
Yeah, it'd be good for Voltron.
And I bet Fort Max has all kinds of Sailor Moon posters on his walls.
Too many bookshelves.
That's a really bad excuse, Fort Max.
They're full
if you're going
to
make up a cover story, at least make it a little more convincing than that.
No, too many bookshelves. They're full of toys.
Sailor Moon toys?
Transformers.
Sailor Moon Transformers?
Toys.
Transformer crossover Sailor Moon?
No, roleplay items.
Ah, those kind of Transformers.
I'm not even going to ask.
If a toy doesn't take decals, it's not any fun.
Ew.
Excellent.
No, thanks. I didn't want to sleep tonight anyway.
I could have said dry cell batteries.
Wow. That's your vintage stuff right there, right? Or gas-powered. How about that?
Propane.
And propane accessories.
Okay, I think we're getting kind of silly now. Let's wrap this up.
Okay, so, Voltron?
Sure. Wait, which Voltron?
I don't know.
Voltron
I don't
third dimension.
Of course, that's the only correct answer to that question.
I've only watched Lion Voltron.
I've
never seen Vehicle Voltron.
I don't think I've ever seen a full episode of any Voltron series.
So then the villain topic?
Well, I've got my masterpiece Voltron. I could do a review.
So then the villain topic?
Yeah, that might work better.
I'm not sure what review would go with that, but I think it's something we're all a little more familiar with.
Serpentera, perhaps?
No. I mean, it could be, but anyway. So, the villain topic, then?
Yeah.
I assume it's going to be mostly covering Zed, Divatox, and Rancic?
No, it's going to be covering the Gai arc.
Ozaru?
Nari. Nobody wants to be Zoyo.
Pok, pok, ping.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway.
Let's end this.
Now, wouldn't the villain topic also cover Bandai a lot?
Always.
Yeah.
It's always about Bandai. Bandai is the worst thing to ever happen to Power Rangers.
It's the only thing that ever happened to Power Rangers.
Well, them and Disney. Power Rangers.
We can have an argument over which is worse.
What?
We could have an argument over which is worse, Bandai or Disney.
Disney.
The Saban era was so much more fun. It was a simpler time.
And had much better music.
And was less New Zealand.
Yeah.
Oh, well, anyway. Yeah, so let's go ahead and end the show. Bye.
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 So long.
Bye. 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 Bye.
This has been Superhero Time with your hosts, XV, Hey Mickey, Paladin, and Fort Max. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.
Take out some of the useless crap.